Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Look, I mean, I know you have to ask the question. It's not something I certainly will, you know, get into specifics on any, you know, these type of things. But I know there's rumors out there, there's rumblings and on different scenarios. You know, what I can tell you is from the day our season ended, you know, after my conversations with Terry and kind of where we go from here, every single thing that we're doing this offseason, we ask the question, does this help our team get better? Does this put us in a position to improve? And we've made a lot of decisions up to this point of where we sit today with that in mind, and we're going to continue. So nothing's off the table. We're going to talk about everything. We're going to look at every scenario. But that's probably as far as I go on specifics right now.
Nothing is off the table. Important words issued from Kevin Adams today as he and Jerry Fortin addressed the media pre-draft, Sabres style. And obviously the talking point there was Jeff Skinner and the potential, because Marty, we will at some point get to the buyout window. It's very slow in approaching this year, but
could be Monday, you know, could be Wednesday, could be any day.
And sometimes players that appear headed for a buyout don't make it there. We'll get to the Barkley Goodrow situation, you know, in a minute. But obviously, the Skinner topic is super important for everyone.
Yes.
The general manager who just spoke about it, the owner who would have to write the check, which is pretty darn big. And then the current roster, because what would it mean if you, subtracted Skinner from the mix? So how do you view all of kind of what was said this morning, but has been talked about for months?
Well, I mean, obviously, like, Jeff Skinner scored 92 goals the last three seasons. Like, that is a significant offensive piece that you would think that, hey, if we are going to buy out a player, a $9 million player like Jeff Skinner, and be willing to pay $14.6 million over the next 6 years in buyout cost, that has to be to open up the door for somebody to make the team better, to have a different identity to your team, because he's been a big part of the identity. So, yeah, these are tough decisions. You got a new coach coming in. How does that factor in Jeff Skinner and where he fits? We all remember the Ralph Krueger, you know, Jeff Skinner that was on the taxi squad, to Don Granato, Jeff Skinner that was, you know, scoring 33 and 34 at 35 goals. So you're thinking, is this where Lindy can maybe get an extra 5 goals from where he was last year? Because Jeff Skinner last year was only in the 20. And that was, you know, still pretty good considering that everybody took a step back offensively. So that's what you got to measure in. But at the end of the day, that almost $15 million to pay somebody to not be on your club has to be weighed in very heavily in your decision.
And it certainly sounded like, as we go back to Kevin Adams, that there's been a pretty open discussion between the player and the general manager since the season ended.
With Jeff in particular, at the end of the season, I thought there was true honesty back and forth from myself and him. And, you know, I'll leave specifics out, but I think it's safe to say that I have a lot of respect for Jeff. I mean, he's clearly an elite offensive player in this league. He's done it a long time. He's scored a lot of goals in this league. And I have a lot of respect for Newport Sports, who represents him, and how they handle themselves and the professionalism they show on a daily basis. So I'll keep the conversations private, but I've certainly have had dialogue and, you know, just kind of bigger than any one thing, just talking in general about his game and in our team.
What do you think's going through Jeff's mind right now? And from a player's standpoint who has a full no move, do you think a player eventually starts considering all options?
I think you have to. I think you can't be oblivious to the noise, to the rumors, to the, and we're just talking about the outside. Kevin Adams talks about, we've had very honest conversations. like Jeff Skinner's got to be going home and think either these honest conversations are positive. Jeff, you're a big part of our team. We know what you can do. We love you. The players love you. We want to build. You want you to be a piece of our core. Or it's negative or somewhere in the middle. But, you know, I would anticipate that by the sound of everything, it's more like, let's be honest in a, okay, that's not good enough. We need more. And if you can't provide us more, then we have to look at other options. So that's a little bit more the way it sounds. I get it. I'm not saying that's exactly what Kevin Adams was saying, but you try to read in between the lines. And when you say, oh, I've had honest conversation with a player, that's not usually to tell him how good he is, because you would use a different term. You'd say, you know, I love that guy. I've told him many times. I love him. He's great. He's part of our core. So having honest conversation has to tell Jeff, hey, maybe you also have an ownership within yourself to say, is it better for you to go somewhere else, right? To be maybe getting a chance to relaunch yourself as a new player, kind of like what he did when he went from Carolina to Buffalo. It looked like Carolina's days were numbered. He comes to Buffalo, boom, 40 goals first year. Like, that's great. Maybe he has that opportunity, that desire again, but that's internally a conversation that he and Kevin Adams have already had or are going to continue to have.
Do you think, by the nature of what a buyout would present over the course of time, and that is a couple of the years ahead where there would be a high, pretty high cap hit, obviously substantially lower than the $9 million right now. Do you think that initially the savings would be invested in an outside acquisition, or is it more budgetary to make sure that they have the room for all the players they feel are coming up and or are in the 23-man roster right now?
Well, we're going to talk about moves that have happened around the National Hockey League, but I look at Markstrom to Jersey, right? Like, because Calgary retained some salary, now the New Jersey Devils have both goalies at $6 million, where Markstrom himself should have been a $6 million goalie. So sometimes you have to look at the pieces and how you want the pieces to work. I think that next year, Jeff Skinner, if he was bought out, he would be a $1.4 million cap hit. So there's $7.5 million that you technically have to play with. I don't want to say replace Jeff Skinner, but to play around with it, right? Is that a cool leak that is basically an $850,000 player? Or are you bringing in somebody? How do you make that work? I think in year two and year three, it's a lot more difficult because it's $4.5 and $6.5 million. And that's why Kevin Adams and, you know, the front office have to also think, is it better to buy out Jeff Skinner this year or to see what he does this season and potentially buy him out the year after? There's a difference in the money, then there's a difference in the cap hit because of what's left on Jeff Skinner's contract. So that also, but it's not easy to have the conversation about buying out a player now and say, oh, you know what? We're not going to do it now. Come back and give us everything you got and put a smile on your face like that. You're a professional. You should be doing it. But as a human, you know, being, it's not easy. So I would think that the savings would be used to strengthen the team. But my whiteboard right now doesn't have Jeff Skinner. Like, if I'm telling you I've got holes in the lineup and Jeff Skinner is not filling in one of those holes, it's other people that would be filling in those holes.
So is that a different way of saying that your opinion maybe has changed on this, that you feel it's closer to a buyout now because of how the general manager has spoken about it? How do you assess why you said what you just said?
I think it almost makes more sense to do it in a year from now. But do you have a year to say, let's wait another year because of the position the Sabres are in right now, saying they just, you know, fired Don Granato, hired Lindy Ruff. They were supposed to take a major step forward and the expectations, right? The internal expectations. It didn't happen. I think if the Sabres had made the playoffs this year and we're looking at, okay, what's our roster build? What's our cap? Where do we go? you can say let's punt it down a year, because you know what? I think we made the playoffs. We can still get there. But because you took a step back, you have to put everything on full go, full forward. And I think, yes, maybe 2 days ago, I would have thought in a year from now, it's more likely. Now I think it would probably be more beneficial and more important to do it now so that you take that step forward and you go in and fill in those gaps right away.
And while every team always says they only focus on their own business,
I think
it's impossible not to recognize everything that happened within the conference yesterday. And I will lead off by saying the Devils, the Capitals, and the Rangers all got better yesterday. We've touched on the Devils briefly. Give me your assessment of the trade that netted them Markstrom.
It's like a magic trick. Like, okay, we all knew Markstrom was going to go to New
magic.
Jersey. Yeah, a little Fitz magic. Like Tom Fitzgerald taking a lot of blame for not acting earlier. Like it's 6 months too late in a sense for last year, right? They should have gotten Markstrom in January or February last year. It didn't happen. He waited until the deadline to get Jake Allen and Kaapo Kähkönen. Whatever. Like the Devils had a lot of injuries. They had already fired their coach Lindy Ruff. It's just like, oh, but at least now we got it done, right? And what he paid for Jacob Markstrom now is nothing. He actually got the Calgary Flames to eat 30% of his salary this year and next year. $2 million this year, $2 million next year. The Devils didn't have to give up the 10th overall pick this year. It's a first-round pick in 2025. Who gives a, you know what, about it? Like, it could be the 26th overall pick. It could be the 22nd overall pick. And they got Kevin Ball. Like, oh my goodness, could you have, like, ask for, I'm sure they ask, but don't settle for Kevin Ball in a 2025 first round pick. Like it doesn't make sense whatsoever. And play the game. Like we'll talk to Darren Dreger at the bottom of the hour, and I'm sure he's into who was making offers. What have played a game, put two offers against one another, call back, do the negotiating. Like they took the offer, and I know he has a new movement clause, but still, I think they took a very, very, very low offer.
What's worse? Paying a third of his deal or the 2025 being lottery protected?
Oh, well, yeah, obviously it's lottery protected. It could be a 2026. I know exactly.
Is this a thing? Make the deal. You telling me the Devils don't make that deal? They've been desperate for this goalie for how long now? Come on.
Okay. You're telling me the Devils don't make the deal with the 10th overall pick? Like, okay, I'm going to eat $2 million of Jacob Marks. Okay, if you say it's Markstrom full salary for a 2025 first rounder and Kevin Ball, okay, it's fine. It's not great, but it's you didn't eat any of his salary and you moved on from him. You got a first round pick. You're taking a third of his salary, a third. You're eating $4 million over the next 2 years. That better buy you something. That better buy you a top 10, a top 12, a top 15 pick. Not maybe the 22nd, the 25th, the 27th, who knows. When the Devils gets to the final next year and it's the 31st overall pick. Just a terrible, terrible. Greg Conroy, the GM of the Flames, I respect him, played hard, was one of the good guys and has worked his way up to his job. Now, he did not make a Markstrom deal last year, which maybe he could have got more at the deadline. He didn't make it happen. They missed the playoffs. Whatever, right? It happened. He had offered Elias Lindholm $8+ million over a long-term deal, and then Lindholm turned it down. And now you realize, oh my gosh, can you imagine if Conroy had signed Lindholm to an $8 million a year, multi-long-term deal? Like, I don't know that he's worth that. So he almost made that deal. Luckily, Lindholm turned it down and he traded Lindholm. But he also traded Zadorov to Vancouver. He got a third and a fifth for Zadorov. Like,
but Zadorov forced his way out too.
Exactly. So, but I get it. But still, play the game. Like, try to be a little bit of a poker shark at the table. Like, don't just, okay, I'm playing goldfish and I flipped the wrong card. Like, it's come on.
Mm-hmm. Barkley didn't get to be a poker shark, but he is a shark again.
Yes, nice segue.
Well, you put it out there, and big teeth, although I'm not sure Barkley's showing them right now. Look, it's an interesting situation. Barkley Gaudreau looked like he was headed potentially for a buyout, something we've talked about significantly on this show, because the Rangers, despite winning the President's Trophy, feel like they have to get better next year. Gaudreau had a terrific playoff. He's a two-time cup winner. His salary's not even that bad, at just over $3 million for the remaining three years of his deal. But when you get to the point where the Rangers are, every extra million or two is majorly significant when trying to retool. So they put him on waivers, and the Sharks bit. And look, the first reaction from everybody, without question, in hockey is, oh, Greer doing his buddy Chris Drury a favor, which is fine. This stuff happens all the time.
Yeah.
Of course, the Rangers are being lauded for being, you know, Drury specifically, you know, aggressive, cutthroat, call it what you will, did a move that is now going to open up $3 million plus a year without having to absorb an amazing, huge steal. My instinct, Marty, is that Greer is really going to assess just how bad he hooked San Jose. Not were soon, but you know, I think Greer would still be open to helping Barkley find a better fit before next season. That's just my guess.
It could be, but here's the thing too. The San Jose Sharks projected cap hit right now is $55 million. The floor next year is $65 million. They still have to put in $10 million, and I'm sure they'll be able to fill that void. But Barkley Gaudreau, even though it's only $3.6 million, he becomes the second highest paid forward on the San Jose Sharks.
Logan Couture.
Well, Logan Couture, when he comes back, right, at $8 million. But right now, still considered on injured reserve on cap friendly. We still have about 2 weeks of cap friendly to be used. So I'm, going off their numbers. But yeah, I mean, you still need to have that salary factored in. Now, if the Sharks' internal projection is, okay, we have Barkley Gaudreau right now, it helps us get to the floor, but we may facilitate something happen later. It could happen, but Barkley Gaudreau still has that modified no-trade clause, so it's still going to be his desire to approve a deal or not. But if not, it's not a bad deal for the Sharks. They get a good veteran. They get a guy that will help you get to a certain number of your salary cap, and for three more years. Maybe he moves at some point in the contract, but it doesn't have to be this summer.
But it's a huge win for the Rangers, obviously, which is what impacts the Sabres the most. And some will say, well, it doesn't matter. They're too far apart. Everything, especially within the conference, affects the Sabres, whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
And so the Devils got better. The Rangers got better because they're going to utilize this extra cap space. And I think, based on how thin Washington has looked up front for a number of years, not that many years, but since Backstrom obviously started ailing, I think they're in a better place now that they picked up Pierre-Luc Dubois. And I'm only looking at it from, at worst, he's probably going to score 25 and 55. At most, he might score 30 goals and 65 to 70 points. And that becomes a win for an organization that needs more offense at this point. And we talked about it at the end of last year. Darcy Kuemper seemed disgruntled. You still had 3 years left on his deal. You were able to get out of it. I still don't necessarily love their current goaltending situation. Like Charlie Lindgren obviously had a great year, super low cost. They may end up with the lowest cost tandem ever this coming season because Charlie's at, what, 1.1? And let's say for a minute they promote Hunter Shepard, from Hershey. Like, he's going to be a million. And so they're going to have $2 million invested two goalies. But
need that. They need that because their cap situation right now is projected to be at about $84 million. They only have 17 players signed. They have $3.5 million to sign 3, 4, or 5 players. Now, you're right. I think that the Washington Capitals on the ice got better with Pierre-Luc Dubois. Say whatever you want to say about Pierre-Luc Dubois. He is still a capable hockey player that is not going to finish the season with 1 goal and 2 assists in 82 games. He's going to have a production, and maybe that allows Ovechkin to have even more production than the way he started over the first 40 games last year. But their cap situation is a big-time negative. Now, some of that money of the cap is going to come off the year after with TJ Oshie a year after. You've got Ethan Bear a year after. Backstrom is on long-term IR, so it doesn't matter. But so you've got players that are going to come off a year later. Maybe that opens up some cap space to fit other players. So they got a little better on the ice. They didn't get better in their cap. You know, they just bought Cap Friendly, and they're looking at Cap Friendly, the Washington Capitals, saying, how do we make 4 players fit in $3 million? Like, that's really the complication that Cap Friendly is going to try to guide them through in the next couple of weeks.
Well, they will have a couple of low-cost promotions from Hershey, who are, again, vying for the Calder Cup. Marashnichenko and Hendrix Lapierre are two obvious ones that will fit in and not cost them a significant amount of money next year. It's an interesting deal. Obviously, the salary is higher for Dubois than it was for Kemper, but I have no doubt that they'll remember. Spencer Carberry, he somehow got them to the playoffs.
Yeah, no, they were the worst of the 16, but still, they got there. Now, you are one of the, I don't want to say the few, but you're probably very high on the list of people in the East Coast that watch the LA Kings regularly. The Kings are on at 10:30. You'll be watching them until the last minute because you've always liked watching the late games. And, you know, the Kings are a team that are, you know, Anze Kopitar, one of your favorite and all of that. Did they get better with Darcy Kemper in net, or did they get worse? I think the Kings got better. They're a good defensive team. You would tell me, thinking that Kemper is better than Cam Talbot and Phoenix Copley and David Riddick. I think Kemper is better than those.
Well, for interest's sake, Kemper has gone from 921 to 909 to 890 in his save percentage the last 3 seasons. Now, granted, most of the league has had a similar drop because save percentages have gone down as well. They will have the oldest tandem in the league next year with Big Save Dave and Darcy combining for 66 years of age. Once they get into the season, Dave's going to turn 32 in August. Kemper versus 34 right now. I don't think that really matters. It's just a footnote to the story. I don't know if they're better simply because I worry about them. There's many reasons to worry about them. The concern that we've talked about 100 times is, are they going to get the most out of their offensive players under the current coaching change with Jim Hiller behind the bench?
Yeah.
And if they don't see a really massive bump here offensively from some of the guys who maybe didn't have as much last year, then you're relying way too much on Anze Kopitar. Mm-hmm. And I don't like that for the Kings. He has to start falling down the depth chart. And, you know, so will they get more throughout the roster? I don't know. They still have a lot of prospects. You know, one of the first questions I asked you yesterday was, does this mean they're going to go all in on a long-term deal for Byfield away?
And by the way, Byfield can be offer sheeted. You know, I said the other day that he has to have arbitration right to be offer sheeted. No, he can still be offer sheeted. He's done his 3 years. He's an RFA group too. He just doesn't have arbitration rights. But if a team comes in and say, hey, we want to throw $8 million a year for 7 years on Quentin Byfield, they could do it. You know, so But I think the Kings would probably go in and sign Byfilter long term and say, we've got that figured out now. And that would be like, let's see what he can do.
Right, because they're not going to have to leave money aside to chase another goaltender. Yeah. And right, and although that being said, they've been the very budget conscious team when it comes to goaltending the last little bit. And now all of a sudden they have a pretty healthy cost in Kemper, although Riddick doesn't make a ton. So they still get in that window that's similar to New Jersey, right? As far as what your total cost is for goaltending. So
this is funny because usually we always ask who won the trade, and there's always a winner. There's always a loser. Sometimes you're like, it's good for both teams. In this trade, everybody's laughing at both teams because they're saying, oh my gosh, Washington, what are you doing? 7 years of $8.5 million for Pierre-Luc Dubois. Like that's, nobody wanted that. And for LA, even though I think they salvaged the Dubois situation, they're savages. They salvaged the Dubois situation okay with filling in their goalie need. Like the other side of that is, okay, you turned Velarde, Iafallo, and Kupari into Darcy Kemper. Like
who you had before.
Who you already had for 18 games. Yeah, or 19 games. So, like, I get Rob Blake was able to turn a bad situation into, okay, let's make the best out of it. But I think both teams are getting flack for the deal because of where they were and where they're going.
Yeah, and I don't want to present this as Darcy Kemper isn't capable of being really good. He has shown that. I just have concerns because of what have you done for me lately? And it just wasn't particularly good last year in Washington. Yeah. But I'm actually fascinated now that you've kind of talked it out loud a little bit more about how people are rating the trade right now, because I did read one article probably in The Athletic where they both graded out at a C+. So they were both the same in the trade. But think about rewinding a couple of years when Darcy Kemper was the number one goaltender for the eventual Stanley Cup champion Colorado Avalanche. And think of where Dubois might have been at that point. It's hard to know because he's had these ups and downs, but he's kind of always been Pierre-Luc Dubois. Like when Kemper was at his best, like, would you, like, what would people have thought of a Dubois for Kemper trade? Like, 2 to 3 years ago.
I think you just said it makes sense if that's the need you need. Kemper won a Stanley Cup. Kemper was really good, you know, when at his best. Right? And you're right. Like, in Colorado in the playoffs, he wasn't great. But that season, he also played behind the best defensive team when you look at the numbers, the analytics, right? Colorado was giving up the least amount of shots from the slot, least amount of scoring chances, and he had one of his best season there in the regular season. LA's kind of very similar, so that's interesting. Hey, Duffer, breaking news, because we're talking about the LA Kings. They were scheduled to play a preseason game in Salt Lake City against the Vegas Golden Knights on September 23rd. This has now been canceled because there's going to be a Utah hockey club in Salt Lake City this year. So I just saw coming through my feed and I'm like, it's in breaking news. I'm like, what? It's the fact that when preseason has now been canceled, everybody that bought tickets will get a refund because Utah is coming in the league. When they scheduled that game, there was no sight of Utah Hockey Club just yet.
Season memberships for the Sabres can be found in the lower bowl for $57 per game. Get closer to the action, enjoy exclusive access, perks, and experiences. Visit sabres.com/join to get in on a Sabres season membership for next season. Darren Dreger after the break on Sabres Live.
Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Stanley Cup Final resumes tomorrow in Edmonton. Darren Dreger, our hockey insider from TSN, is there. But the beauty of the last couple of days in the NHL is there's been a lot more to talk about than just the Stanley Cup Final. So I'll present a creative way to ask a topic that I know we were going to get into. Is the Devils' 10th overall pick still in play?
Hmm. I mean, I don't have a hard answer for that. And I guess I want to say yes, because I do know that Tom Fitzgerald has some other pieces that he's hoping to acquire. You know, he'd like to bolster his blue line. He wants an experienced veteran defenseman, same thing, more hard-nosed, stable, all of those things. So, you know, when you look at the unrestricted free agent market, what are you looking at? Zadorov, if he doesn't sign in Vancouver, you're looking at Brendan Dillon, maybe. But beyond that, maybe there are some other trade options that Fitzgerald could consider. And, you know, he wants to add a little bit of size up front as well. He's got really good forwards, more on the diminutive side, I would say. So I would think that he's willing to listen on that 10th pick overall, but I don't know that with 100% certainty.
Okay, well, what, and I'm trying to carefully pick words, kind of like what Duffer just did, because I don't know where to go. Like, what kind of low offer would the New Jersey Devils have been like, oh my God, Calgary accepted that? Like, I just cannot understand that offer being the winning offer for Jacob Markstrom at the end of the day.
Well, look, I mean, it's a first-round draft pick, and it's Kevin Ball.
Lottery protected.
It's lottery protected, I know. But, I can tell you that it's way better than the first offer the New Jersey Devils made. I mean, they offered a conditional draft pick. So it got better over time, and more recently it got serious. You know, and Kevin Ball, they look at a 23-year-old defenseman. He's a mountain of a human being.
Yeah.
Not really sure what he's going to develop into at the NHL level, but they think he's going to be okay, and they'll do more on their blue line. It was always about the first-round draft pick. So I think when the call went to Tom Fitzgerald to say, if you don't throw in this first-round pick and make the offer we need, we're going to go somewhere else. And that's where it gets a little bit spicy, because leading up to the trade deadline, there was nowhere else. It was New Jersey. That was the team that Markstrom wanted to go to. He waved to go to, thought they had a deal to send him there, and then it all blew apart. And then Pat Morris, who represents Jacob Markstrom, went back to Calgary after the trade deadline to say, hey, we're willing to expand the list here a little bit. So go out and have your conversations with teams that you think are interested in Markstrom, and then come back to us. At the end of the day, Markstrom had veto power, right, with the no-move clause. I think it came down to two teams. Obviously, the New Jersey Devils, and I think that Markstrom was intrigued by the possibility of going to the Toronto Maple Leafs. So when Fitzy learned all of that, I think he said, all right, well, one thing I can't do is have an empty seat in the dressing room when it comes to a top-rate goalie. And he was down the road a little bit with Don Sweeney and the Boston Bruins on Linus Ullmark, but probably wasn't sure that he was going to be able to get that done. Maybe Ullmark was having, you know, second thoughts, all of those things. I don't know. But when he learned that there was a possibility that Markstrom was going to go somewhere else, I think that's when New Jersey stepped up and said, okay, let's get this done.
Where will Ullmark end up?
Well, a lot of people still looking at LA, even though they just acquired Darcy Kemper in that surprising deal yesterday with PLD, Pierre-Luc Dubois, going to the Washington Capitals. You know, I mean, when you look at the goaltending in LA, what do you see? Darcy Kemper and Rittich? Is that what you're going into next year with? I mean, some might be okay with that. Now Rob Lake and the LA Kings have some cap space by moving, you know, Dubois' contract out. So I guess he could do some shopping. I still feel like he wants to, you know, build up in the crease. So, you know, the Ullmark speculation continues to swirl around there. But if it's not LA, where is it? You know, there's a sense that he doesn't want to come into Canada, and that means Toronto, and that means Ottawa. So, you know, what are you left with after that? You know, there's rumblings around Colorado, not specific to Linus Ullmark, but, you know, they potentially want to get in the goaltending fix. You know, what about the Edmonton Oilers? I mean, if Edmonton claws back and evens this series and wins three in a row tomorrow night here in Edmonton, and Stu Skinner continues to play the way he has in games 4 and 5, I don't see the goaltending problem in Edmonton. So maybe we can park that speculation. But Ullmark is still a tricky one. He really is at this stage.
Do you think the Bruins are in the driver's seat when it comes to Allmark, or is this 16-team no-trade list kind of slowing things down and will, like, ultimately do what it did for Calgary, is that limit the return that you can get for a guy like Allmark?
Yeah, it hampers it to some degree, but you still have half the league to work with here, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, one thing I've learned, and I think general managers are way more aggressive in doing this over the years, is that, yeah, you can have the no trade or the no move clause. That doesn't prevent me as a general manager from talking to the GMs on your list of no moves, right? And if, especially if the rest of the market isn't interested or you're not getting anything back that's going to give you the value you need, then you go back to the player or his representative and say, here's the scenario here. I know this team is on your no trade list, but this is a team that's on the uptick. You know, you sell it to the player and you see if he's willing to yeah. wiggle at that point. But Allmark seems pretty dug in. I mean, that's the way he was, you know, leading up to the trade deadline. And it doesn't feel at this point like he's loosening up a whole bunch. So Don Sweeney has his work cut out for him.
What do you feel is likely to happen, or are you hearing about the Sabres as it pertains potentially to Jeff Skinner, as we talked about at the top of the show, because yeah. the general manager addressed the buyout topic today to the local media, and anything else Sabres related as we get just over a week out from the draft?
Yeah, now I didn't hear Kevin speak, Duffer, but correct me if I'm wrong. I think, you know, the messaging that I was getting out of Buffalo prior to the media avail was that just about anything is on the table. And they haven't made any official decisions, and that includes the buyout of Jeff Skinner. So that tells you that, yeah, they're having that conversation. You know, some are a little bit confused by it, but that's fine. I mean, that's all part of, you know, going through your hockey operations and making decisions. Some of that has to do with opportunity for younger players. So what I know is that Adams has a lot of things going. Is he open to the idea of something bigger via trade? Sure he is. Sure he is. And that's why, you know, you see some of the speculation on the 11th pick overall, some of the prospects that Adams might be willing to consider moving out. Well, again, that's all part of improving, maybe encouraging a bigger deal. I know that Kevin wants to improve the bottom six of his lineup. That's primarily where his focus as general manager is, but that doesn't mean that the door is closed or he's not listening to something bigger. And when we get through this Stanley Cup final, it was interesting that four teams took advantage of an off day of the Stanley Cup final yesterday in two pretty significant trades, I would say. So it's not impossible that we could see some work over the course of the weekend. But certainly as we get into Vegas next week, Buffalo, go down the list of teams that are interested in talking and getting some stuff done. They'll be active, no doubt.
Anything going on with Trevor Zegras and, you know, the speculation on a very talented young player and the Anaheim Ducks? They put a tweet and an Instagram post out the other day. I thought, oh, there's going to be breaking, you know, it's something about a jersey and maybe they're changing their logo. So
I like that jersey with the orange. It's nice.
I do. I don't like the D with the, it looks like the feet of ducks or whatever. So I didn't love that logo. I like the cross, like the almighty ducks, but anything okay. with Zegras right now?
Not really. And I think where all the speculation kind of percolates from is, I believe it was Pierre LeBrun in The Athletic wrote the piece not that long ago, and Pat Verbeek, the general manager of the Ducks, was quoted as basically saying he too is open to almost everything. And everything includes Trevor Zegras. And that's a message that I'm getting from other clubs around the league. But I had an exchange with Pat Brisson, who's, you know, he's juggling. He's got lots of stuff going on right now, including being part of the Pierre-Luc Dubois trade to the Washington Capitals yesterday. But he said, you know, he's certainly not involved in any of the trade conversations happening around the NHL with Zegras. And I think he would know if, you know, teams were progressing or really trying to get something going with Verbeek and the Anaheim Ducks. So I think he's a player in play. We know that Verbeek is willing to consider moving him, but I don't think that he's a front burner option right now for the Anaheim Ducks. But guys, as we've learned over the past number of years, that can change with a conversation or it can change with a call. And A lot of what I think led into yesterday's transactions was the fact that all the managers, most of them anyway, convened in Buffalo for the combine. And when you have those face-to-face conversations, and as one GM described with all the agents there, it was like a job fair. Like, yeah. I mean, people are talking about trades. They're talking about free agency. I mean, it's interesting to me how the NHL has never caught anyone tampering, or at least has enforced it with some sort of penalty. But that's where we're at today, is the grumbling from other general managers. Hey, there's so much tampering going on. We don't know what to do anymore. That kind of thing. So anything is possible at this stage.
Any fallout for the Canucks, do you think, just cap-wise, after the Hronek deal and how challenging it might be for them to do the rest of the business here? I mean, it's not like they didn't know it was coming, obviously.
No, fair, but it's going to come at the expense of other pieces, right? You know, does Zadorov really want what has been speculated, you know, upwards of $6 million per year and roughly a six-year term? I mean, we saw Dan Milstein essentially, didn't he tweet fake news when somebody alluded to that? And he followed up when I asked and said, look, you know, we're basically in preliminary conversations. So you're looking at Zadorov, you're looking at Myers, and then obviously you're looking at Elias Lindholm. And I don't think, even though the Vancouver Canucks certainly have an appreciation for what Lindholm can provide at center ice, that they would view him as much needed as an open market scenario might, you know, and really then what you're boiling it down to is dollars. You know, he walked away from a boatload in Calgary, a ton, and he's not getting that back as an unrestricted free agent. Mm-hmm. But that was his call, and he did well in Vancouver. A lot of people want to connect Lindholm to the Boston Bruins. I'm not sure he's a perfect fit offensively. Maybe there are better options out there, but all around, and what the Boston Bruins need, Lindholm ticks a lot of boxes. So maybe Vancouver just kind of digs that line in the sand and says, here's our best and final offer. That's not good enough. And he goes to open market. And that could apply to the two defensemen who are still in the mix as well.
Greg, we know you are in Edmonton, Alberta for game six tomorrow. And when you're on the road sometimes, like to ask you, what are you going to do with your free time? I see that there's a Snoop Dogg and Friends concert at Rogers Place tonight. Are you one of Snoop Dogg's friends? And will you be in attendance before, you know, the big game six tomorrow?
No, I will not be in attendance, with all due respect to Snoop. You know, Shania was here. What was that, prior to game four, I think it was?
Yeah.
And I walked past the concert. I had an all access pass, and I didn't even take, you know, 30 seconds to walk in.
Come on.
Well, hold on now.
Outsider.
Not to be a name dropper here. Not to be. In 1998, I was part of an introduction group that introduced Shania Twain at a concert here in Edmonton in 98. Yeah. And I have a picture to prove it. I can send it to you. I sent it to our internal group and created a buzz. So it's hard to top Shania in her prime. So no, sorry, Snoop.
Shania will never be out of her prime. Let's just put it that way.
I might be spending a bit of time with the boys from Nickelback tomorrow.
Oh, you're with Noodles, so that's why Jimmy McLennan, he's going to get you the Nickelback full experience, which is always pretty good.
Exactly. That's the plan.
Dregs, we got to fly. Enjoy game six tomorrow. We'll see you next week. There he is, Hockey Insider Darren Dreger. We'll wrap Sabres live after this.
Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
11-day power play is underway. Opening ceremonies officially kick it off tonight at 6 p.m. Good luck and thank you to all involved. Happy birthday to Sabres alum Daryl Shannon, as he remains incredibly involved in this community and with the Alumni Association. Former Sabre Drake Kajula celebrating a birthday today, along with Florida Panther Sam Bennett, Marty.
Oh, well, that's a nice group of birthdays. Nicole Kidman, Lionel Richie was just in town, and McLovin's 35. Can you imagine McLovin, the guy in Superbad, who is a 25-year-old organ donor from Hawaii on his fake ID, is now 35 years old, can go and buy his own booze if he wants to.
Can you imagine Connor McDavid not winning the Conn Smythe either way here?
I can't. Right now, I can't. I think the last two games just put him in that category that unless they get blown out and Barkov or Bobrovsky have a fantastic game six, I think McDavid wins the Conn Smythe regardless.
Would be a great typo on the trophy. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thing. So anything is possible at this stage.
Any fallout for the Canucks, do you think, just cap-wise, after the Hronek deal and how challenging it might be for them to do the rest of the business here? I mean, it's not like they didn't know it was coming, obviously.
No, fair, but it's going to come at the expense of other pieces, right? You know, does Zadorov really want what has been speculated, you know, upwards of $6 million per year and roughly a six-year term? I mean, we saw Dan Milstein essentially, didn't he tweet fake news when somebody alluded to that? And he followed up when I asked and said, look, you know, we're basically in preliminary conversations. So you're looking at Zadorov, you're looking at Myers, and then obviously you're looking at Elias Lindholm. And I don't think, even though the Vancouver Canucks certainly have an appreciation for what Lindholm can provide at center ice, that they would view him as much needed as an open market scenario might, you know, and really then what you're boiling it down to is dollars. You know, he walked away from a boatload in Calgary, a ton, and he's not getting that back as an unrestricted free agent. Mm-hmm. But that was his call, and he did well in Vancouver. A lot of people want to connect Lindholm to the Boston Bruins. I'm not sure he's a perfect fit. Offensively, maybe there are better options out there, but all around and what the Boston Bruins need, Lindholm ticks a lot of boxes. So maybe Vancouver just kind of digs that line in the sand and says, here's our best and final offer. That's not good enough. And he goes to open market, and that could apply to the two defensemen who are still in the mix as well.
Dregs, we know you are in Edmonton, Alberta for game six tomorrow. And when you're on the road sometimes, I like to ask you, what are you going to do with your free time? I see that there's a Snoop Dogg and Friends concert at Rogers Place tonight. Are you one of Snoop Dogg's friends? And will you be in attendance before, you know, the big game six tomorrow?
No, I will not be in attendance, with all due respect to Snoop. You know, Shania was here, that, prior to game four, I think it was?
Yeah.
And I walked past the concert. I had an all-access pass, and I didn't even take, you know, 30 seconds to walk in.
Come on.
Well, hold on now.
Outsider.
Not to be a name dropper here. Not to be. In 1998, I was part of an introduction group that introduced Shania Twain at a concert here in Edmonton in 98. Yeah. And I have a picture to prove it. I can send it to you. I sent it to our internal group and created a buzz. So it's hard to top Shania in her prime. So no, sorry, Snoop.
Shania will never be out of her prime. Let's just put it that way.
I might be spending a bit of time with the boys from Nickelback tomorrow.
Oh, you're with Noodles, so that's why Jimmy McLennan, he's going to get you the Nickelback full experience, which is always pretty good.
Exactly. That's the plan.
Dregs, we got to fly. Enjoy game six tomorrow. We'll see you next week. There he is, Hockey Insider Darren Dreger. We'll wrap Sabres live after this.
We're back with more of Sabres Live. Presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
11-day power play is underway. Opening ceremonies officially kick it off tonight at 6 p.m. Good luck and thank you to all involved. Happy birthday to Sabres alum Daryl Shannon, as he remains incredibly involved in this community and with the Alumni Association. Former Sabre Drake Kajula celebrating a birthday today, along with Florida Panther Sam Bennett, Marty.
Oh, well, that's a nice group of birthdays. Nicole Kidman, Lionel Richie was just in town, and McLovin's 35. Can you imagine McLovin, the guy in Superbad, who was a 25-year-old organ donor from Hawaii on his fake ID, is now 35 years old, can go and buy his own booze if he wants to.
Can you imagine Connor McDavid not winning the Conn Smythe either way here?
I can't. Right now, I can't. I think the last two games just put him in that category that unless they get blown out and Barkov or Bobrovsky have a fantastic game six, I think McDavid wins the Conn Smythe regardless.
Would be a great typo on the trophy. We'll see you tomorrow.